Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort, and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals, and a Disney-featured stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, we're going to wrap up our series of post-Diz Dads Club convention coverage. I've got three dads who were traveling solo this time around. So we welcome back to the podcast, Adam Dale.
Good evening, everyone.
Joe Masters.
Howdy, y'all.
And Terry Hawkins.
Hey, guys, if you've seen my liver, please send it back to me.
It's hiding. It's cowering somewhere in fear.
It gave the fight up halfway through.
So as you get, I'm sure you can get the sense already, this is a little bit different trip that we're going to be hearing about, even though the dates overlap with the travel dates of our last three guests. We've already talked to Chris Papcheck and Michael Tai and Jay Gilbert about their Diz Dads Club convention experiences. They were traveling with their families and were blending their Diz Dads Club convention trip with a family trip. And that's wonderful. I've done it that way too. It can be a lot of fun. Actually, all three of these guys have done it that way to a greater or lesser extent and had a lot of fun with it. But there's also another way to approach a Diz Dads Club convention, and that's as a, dad's long weekend away. And that's what we're here to talk about. So let's start with Joe, because Joe, I know that traveling to Walt Disney World with Ariel is a really special kind of, daddy-daughter thing for you. That's really, you value that a lot. So what did it take to convince you that this Diz Dads Club convention, you would be traveling without Ariel?
Those that know me, I've made trips every year since roughly 2011 with my daughter. That's one of the things I daddy daughter bond. Like you said, we have our own page, Daddy Daughter Trips to Disney World, and I've tried to get her back every year. Usually it's in the summertime because she's out of school.
Sure.
Over the past couple of years, I have treated her a time or two. I know we went to Christmas time 2016 was a surprise trip, and there's a podcast for that. but as far as this particular trip and this time of year, my daughter is now 17 years old. She's a senior in high school. She is a lieutenant on the cheer squad, and she's also a leader on the band. So she's got a lot of school responsibilities, and being her senior year, she really needs to buckle down and focus on the end goal. That was pretty much the basis for her not getting to go.
Okay. So this was if she could have, she probably would have, but you weren't going to miss the chance yourself just because she couldn't make it.
Absolutely. and there's definitely some perks to traveling solo. I don't know how many people have ever traveled solo and gotten to enjoy Disney alone, but there's really no limitations on what you can do. If you're traveling with family, there's always somebody who doesn't want to do something or a certain meal they don't like, right? So when it's solo, you're totally in control and things go your way.
Okay. So that's Joe's take on what was behind him traveling solo this time around. Terry, I think you've probably done Diz Dads Club convention maybe almost 50-50, but you've done it, solo more times than not. And what was it that made this trip, it was going to be a solo trip instead of I know you've done sort of the one kid at a time thing a little bit, and you've done the whole family, you know, done the extended stay with the whole family at Walt Disney World. How come this one was just Terry?
We got snow. Literally, the day I wasn't going. You guys know that. I wasn't going to go to this this convention. It's too crowded. Things, you know, other travel plans. We were in Hawaii just before Christmas. It snowed here, and within an hour of me waking up, I booked the ticket and found a room.
Okay, well, we'll circle back to that in just a second about you fleeing the snow for the coldest Orlando has seen in probably a decade.
Yeah, but it had rum and palm trees, so.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then we have Adam, who is you know, the closest to being a local out of the three of you. You know, he can generally make the drive to Walt Disney World with his family. And so it allows them to do some kind of long weekend kind of trips and things like that. So how did you manage to escape without the gaggle of females in tow?
Several years ago, Tara and I struck a deal that I got my solo dad trip to hang out with the dads, and she got whatever solo trip during the year she wanted, as long as we scheduled family time at other times. So I'm still holding her to that, and I'm still escaping the family the first week of January every year. So that's how that comes about. And it doesn't hurt that several years ago, I started taking that week off from work anyway. So they don't expect me to be there the first week in January. And I just roll that into this.
There you go. So, you got them trained well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They did try to track me down a few times, but we continued to hunt for the hippopotami.
All right. Well, let's start kind of working through what went into this particular Diz Dads Club convention. You know, each one is unique. Each one has something about it that makes it, you know, different from the ones that have happened before. This was Diz Dads Club convention, if I'm counting correctly, 6, right?
Yep. It is 6.
So what was the big new thing for DDCC6, do you think?
Did we do anything new this year? We expanded everything, but I don't know that
We had our own personal barkeep.
We did have our own personal bartender that
we did. Right. Yeah, David Gale was a definite huge addition to, the party room, really, but the DDC this year. And then if everybody would have hung out in the room a little more, could have experienced some of the magic he did with his mixology skills.
I guess that's one of the things that makes each one of these unique is that, you know, there's always new folks who come and join with the crew and add, you know, bring their own contributions to the experience.
David absolutely did. So I'll say the one thing that probably didn't happen that has happened over the last couple of Diz Dads conventions, there's usually a bar crawl on one night where we try and hit several different pubs,
right.
Take a tour of the different clubs and stuff. And this time it didn't seem to happen. We found that more people had not experienced Trader Sam's. Terry, I'm sure, will give you his take on it here shortly. But that wound up being the go-to place this trip. I think we hit that place up at least 3 or 4 times this week.
Okay.
During this trip.
Yeah. So let's get into then a little bit of sort of the Diz Dads Club traditional events and how they came together this year and maybe what was unique or different about them this time around. First of all, one of the things that was clearly unique about this year's Diz Dads Club convention was timing. You know, Terry alluded to it a little bit in our opening when he talked about the fact that crowds were unusually high this year just because of the way the calendar fell. And you had, Marathon Weekend coming right on the heels of a New Year's Day that fell on, the very beginning of the week. And so I think we had a lot of schools that weren't going back yet and all that. Were the crowds as noticeable to you in the parks and doing things around Walt Disney World as they appeared to be by those of us who were observing from the outside?
Yes. Yes. There were people everywhere. But one of the things, and Terry and I'll probably get into this later, is that we spent a lot of time outside the park, just around the resorts, doing some different things that, and trying to relax away from some of the crowds. Okay. But yes, the crowds were definitely a tick up. Anybody that was there this time last year knows that it was already high, and it kind of was even another notch up there. Wasn't quite 4th of July, New Year's Day crowds, but it was getting pretty close.
Okay. So probably the most intense, it's hard for me, right? I've been to the five previous. I missed this one. So, oh, and David managed to join us. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. Sorry.
There he is.
Welcome, Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Hey.
Well, welcome, David. So before we get too far away from the beginning of the trip, which I was about to do, you know, you're the newbie of the gang here. This was your first Diz Dads Club convention. So talk to us just a little bit about what it was that pushed you to kind of finally throw in and join the crew this time around.
Well, usually I work weekends, and it just happened this year that this first weekend of January, I had it off, and it's like, these guys seem like they've had a good time in past years. Let me join in on the fun.
Excellent. So, you're like I said, you're the newbie of the group, but you decided to join in the fun when you realized you had it off. So, how far out were you, sort of all in with this trip? When did you find out you were going to be able to join them?
Gosh, it may have been. I think it was before the 6 months, because I remember being in when the dining reservations were being made. So okay. It must have been that long ago.
Nice. So you had a good solid lead in that you were, you know, ready to do, you know, do Diz Dads Club convention. And with 6 months out, how did you manage to, you know, plan that far out to get to take a solo trip like this?
We have annual passes. We had a family trip in May. My wife and I went down in July because my daughter lives down there. We went to a dance concert she was in. My wife and I went again then in October. And actually it was the end of my other daughter's fall trip. So we got to see her, and then we got to visit with the other daughter. My other daughter and wife went down at the end of the college semester. So the women had their trip down there in December. So It's sort of, you know, we've had all back and forth with with the family where different people are going down. So
sure.
It just worked out.
Yeah, that sounds nice. I like that everybody gets to take the trip that works for them, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. All right. Well, we were just getting ready to talk a little bit about the sort of the group event part of Diz Dads Club convention. For a lot of people, I think the Diz Dads Club convention kind of officially gets underway with the you know, usual late lunch at Beer Garden. Did that happen again this year?
Yes. It did. That the late lunch, early supper.
Right.
It was more of an early supper this year. Started out at Beer Garden, but it started out with Joe and I making a mad dash to the gate to get Carl in the park.
Okay. So talk to us. What was going on well, we know that Carl had some unique challenges with the weather, just trying to get through it to get to Walt Disney World. But what was his challenge getting into the park?
Well, he booked our party room, and we were supposed to leave him cash to pay for his tickets to get in. And, we didn't know whether he was coming or not, and we didn't want to leave a stack of cash laying on the counter. So we had to go meet him with money so that he could buy his tickets to get in.
Okay, well, so always good to start off with a little extra exercise. You know, the traditional beginning with Beer Garden, how was the experience this year? You have a nice size crowd for that opening?
Yeah, we We filled three tables there. Was it two or three tables?
Three tables.
Yeah, three tables.
Okay, yeah, that's a good sized group.
Yeah,
and we were I'm front.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was the largest, Aaron, but it was the loudest. When the Oompa band snaps their head around to take a look at, oh my God, what the hell was that noise? you know we've got the system down pretty good.
Yeah. And then goads the rest of the crowd to try to match us.
Oh, that's fun. You got to be the models.
Yes. Yeah. So he hollered out the tiki-taki, and we were all, you know, we were whispering amongst ourselves, like, everybody go on the first one, just as loud as you can, just go on the first one. So that's what really kind of set him off, is we were oi, oi, oi at the top of our lungs, and those guys dropped, just stood still, turned immediately to the right, and we're like, you guys are from Germany, aren't you?
Or because usually they got to encourage the crowd. There's got, you know, they make them do it two or three times until they do it satisfactorily.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So it's definitely an eye opener for them, as they weren't ready for that.
And, right.
You know, like the guy said, this is the crowd now was trying to get in and be just as loud and understood the shtick of it all.
Sure.
And what, Joe, we stayed for two full sets.
Oh, easily. Yeah. Cause I think we started when we sat down, we were in the middle of a set, and then we stayed through another set, and then we were finishing up on the last one.
Okay. So nice leisurely, Linner. Or early dinner, big well, crowd. Was
dinner by the time we were done,
right? Yeah. Right. Nice and loud. And did any of you do any other, you know, anything else in Epcot? Because that's the one thing about that late, you know, that early dinner, late lunch, one or the other, is that it's done to accommodate the fact that people are just arriving often, like Carl. So, did you do any other things in the park before dinner or after dinner?
We've been there all day.
Yeah. I got to thank David again and his future son-in-law there, Thomas, because David was able to convince Thomas to give us a behind the scenes tour of the aquarium in the morning. And unfortunately it was real close to his break time. So, I know Adam and I think Joe, you both missed out on it, but yeah. It was awesome. It, you know, you might have missed out on it. It was probably the best part of the trip. actually, it was really good, but thanks again there, David, because that was phenomenal getting up and taking a look around.
Well, now talk a little bit about that. Where was he able to take you, and what were you able to see?
Maybe I'll let David explain that.
So, in the Living with the Seas, in the big round aquarium room, they have that center area, and if you've ever noticed, there's a spiral staircase in there. So, we got to go upstairs to the top level, and this is where the guys will do their diving, feeding the fish, and doing all the work that's done up top. Okay. So we got to go up there and just, he explained some things to us and just showed us around. And there were some feedings that were going on. I think they were feeding the stingrays at that time, and they were showing how they train them, and a couple of other things up there. So probably we spent maybe 15, 20 minutes up there or so. Nothing dramatic, but it's just sort of fun to go up there and see what's going on.
Sure. And it's one of those neat little kind of views behind the curtain that these kinds of things happen. They come along. I mean, I think there's something kind of like this one way or another with a Diz Dads Club convention almost every year. You know, whether it's, you know, Nate being able to bring a few guys into the, you know, the Siemens lounge, in Spaceship Earth, or, you know, somebody's got access to a lounge that, you know, isn't readily accessible otherwise, or the situation that you had where you've got a little in to get a look behind the scenes a little bit in the seas. Very cool.
And then we had the gathering at La Cava. We had a group photo taken there. And we all, there were 12 of us who rode the boat ride there, and I think we just about sunk the boat.
Been there, yeah, done
we
that.
We flooded the boat.
We're not kidding.
Like, oh, I know.
Adam got wet at the front, yeah. And I thought we were going over, like, to the right. Like, I've never seen the water, and I was sitting on, I think, the back row. Like, we were 3/4 of an inch from swamping.
Yeah. No, Jess Swearingen and I were on a ride of that. Why am I drawing a blank on the name of that thing again? Grand Fiesta Tour, right. Yeah, Jeff and I were on a Grand Fiesta Tour boat that very nearly swamped at that. I'm sure it was the same moment as it makes that first turn kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a spot because it's nice and deep there.
Yep.
Yeah. I should point out to you, Aaron, here that one of the reasons why I think Adam and Joe missed the Thursday morning tour was Wednesday night, we kind of opened up Trader Sam's.
Ah, okay. So you got a head start there on Trader Sam's.
And we kind of shut it down.
yeah. So there was a small goal, right? So there was a tab from last year that we're kind of keeping an eye on, and we were trying to beat that tab this year. So there may be a picture floating around of a $700 tab.
Right. I think I've seen that picture.
But that was kind of the goal, was to see how long we could hang out. And again, Terry's first time in there, so Terry got to see a lot of the drinks and stuff and watch the shows and get him some souvenirs.
Sure. So what are your, I'll just go around and let each of you choose. What's your favorite one of those, Trader Sam's experiences? Cause I know that they've got a few different special drinks, and you know, when you take both the drink and the presentation little show elements together, you know, which of those is your favorite? I don't know, Terry, what was your favorite?
For the whole show and everything, it's tough, but there's one that sticks with me. Oa. That was a lot of fun, but every drink has its own show. That's something that I did not realize before going into Trader Sam's.
Right, right.
Every drink has its own show, which just encourages you to, you know, experience each show
multiple
times.
Just means you have to keep ordering more drinks.
Yeah. But yeah, the Aoa, I think, was my my favorite of the shows.
Yeah, I'll second that and say that's probably the most engaging of the drinks because of the chant that goes with it.
You sure. Got the chant and the tiki god and the thunder and the lightning and then the fire.
Yeah, so when we talk about the tiki god, for those that may or may not remember, if you ever went to the Enchanted Tiki Room when it was under new management, in the center fountain, there was a tiki god that rose up out of the fountain. That tiki god is now hanging on the wall in Trader Sam's.
Oh, okay. Glad the guy's finding work.
Absolutely.
And it's such glorious work.
All right.
But if you want to go just pure drink.
Yeah.
Pure drink, you got to hunt for the hippopotamite.
That show is second because everybody laughs at the end of that show, and that drink.
It's that a drink. Gonna,
yeah.
Yeah.
You can be, I can speak on some authority here. You can be 5 or 6 drinks in, you have that one. It's going to hit you.
Yeah. Why is the rum gone? All right. And of the drinks themselves, show aside, is there one that stands out as a favorite?
Well, I certainly enjoyed drinking the Aoa. I don't know why they say it's a drink for two, though. I was a little confused at that, why they gave extra straws.
Yeah, David didn't share.
And you mentioned that you circled back to Trader Sam's a couple other times during the week, right?
Oh, we did.
So did that just kind of become your go-to hangout if you were going to get out of the parks for a bit?
Well, we
it was convenient, and then they kept it, and they opened it earlier because it was so cold. They closed all the pool bars.
Oh, okay.
And because they had closed the pool bars, the bars inside, like Trader Sam's and Cruise Cup and a couple of others that don't open usually till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they were opening them up at 1 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That makes sense because they didn't have the pool bars open and they probably already had them staffed and everything. So why not?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So,
and,
oh, go ahead.
And I'd be remiss here on Saturday, when we found out that Trader Sam's opened, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Beth and Dawn and thanking them for letting Adam and I sit with them and then eventually take over that entire corner of the bar as people trickled down from Ohana's, and they saved spots for everybody there until they had to go. So
okay.
Shout out to Beth and Dawn. Thank you.
You friends.
So sounds like you definitely found a home away from home at Trader Sam's. Trader Sam's Beer Garden, talked a little bit about La Cava. Anybody try anything new at La Cava or have something that stood out and was a lot of, you know, highly enjoyed that you didn't really know about before? You wanted other people to know about?
Well, I'll go. You know, I hear Tim Hicks always talk about La Cava. Him and Angie go in there, you know, had their corner seat, and they're used to going in there, and they had a particular server that was their favorite server, who I don't think works there anymore. But
right.
Every time I've gone in there in the past two trips, I've tried to pick up something that I think is a signature drink on their behalf, and apparently I keep missing it. So this time I had the cucumber margarita. But the one that they keep telling me to get is I believe it's the avocado. So
right.
I still
he's a big fan of the avocado. And I think that one's pretty good. I also like the blood orange quite a bit. And then my favorite actually is it's only available seasonally. They kind of rotate it around, but the surprisingly, the tamarind is really good.
I'll have to catch that next time.
All right. So, while we're in Epcot, any other experiences in Epcot that stood out? I mean, I don't want to get in so much to the running stuff because we know that that's an issue sometimes in Epcot during marathon weekend. But, you know, attractions or dining or drinks or anything special that stood out in Epcot while y'all were there?
There were long lines for everything. Just longer than I've experienced, even food, drink, whatever. It was just amazing how long. You know, my daughter and I, we were trying to just grab a snack to eat, and it just wasn't possible. We wound up walking the boardwalk going to ESPN. It was just as quick to go to ESPN than it would have been to wait in a line.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I had to fast pass Figment because there was a 50-minute line.
Wow.
5-0 for Figment.
That's pretty crazy. This is now probably a full week after New Year's or close to it.
Yeah, that was on the Thursday there. So yeah, it was busy. I think we all just, I feel sorry for those people that, you know, was their first experience at Disney World. But for those of us who've been, you know, we adjusted our schedules, our expectations, and flowed with the rum and the crowds.
well, and something with the crowds and stuff I'll mention, and I've always been an advocate of this anyway, but I think more and more of the guys tried it this time and found out that it was to be true, that the bus situation but the transportation situation in general is getting laggy at best and oftentimes frustrating. I think on Thursday morning, David and those guys left the party room to go to Epcot almost a full hour before me and Joe took an Uber over, and we were in the park maybe 10 minutes after they said they had gotten in.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. We took a lot of Ubers and Lyfts
to get around to just avoid the bus situation and the crowded buses.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
To give you an idea, I left BLT Thursday morning to go to Epcot, and that was an hour and 15 minutes.
And Joe, it was what, 18 minutes for us? We waited longer in the bag check line than it took us to get over there.
Right. Now, we were lucky because, you know, the driver we had, I don't know if he was using Waze or what, but he had some roads around the back into the castle going through the cast member areas and coming around on the other side of the Grand Floridian. So he dropped us off right there, and then we hopped the monorail, you know, one button hook into the park.
Huh. Cool. Yeah, I mean, it can be really helpful to have a driver who, you know, knows the property really well. And unfortunately, it's a little bit of a gamble because you know, for every one that really does know everything like the back of their hand, you get one who doesn't really know it any better than the tourists do.
Yeah. On that note, I'll mention this. I have found we've started doing that a lot more this last year. Rather than driving so much around, you know, taking an Uber or taking a Lyft. And we have found on Friday and Saturdays, Friday evenings and all day on Saturdays, you tend to get a lot of drivers that come up from Tampa and hang out and drive. And those guys are not near as familiar as the guys that are local.
Yeah, that would be consistent with my experience as well. I think that's accurate that, you know, look, can't hardly blame them. I mean, they're chasing the crowd. They're chasing the money. That's when people are calling for the rides. And so they're coming. But the problem is that when it's marathon weekend on top of the crowds, there are so many traffic redirections that if you don't know your way around property really well, you get caught up just as badly as the buses do.
Yes, we got into a situation like that on Sunday, where I was able to get around to get Terry for us to get to our breakfast versus folks that were taking buses and going different places, trying to get across to Animal Kingdom to Boma.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good example. All right. Well, let's circle back. So we've talked about Epcot quite a bit, but you did have some events and some group gathering stuff, in other places as well. One that gets a lot of attention every year is the big dinner at Ohana. I think that this year seemed to me that you did things a little bit differently. Some of this is Ohana has been pushing us this way for a while now, but you were broken down into a little bit smaller groupings. Most of the reviews I've heard from folks have been positive to that. What's your take?
Joe and David will have to answer that. Terry and sure. I got sucked into the Trader Sam's vortex.
So I mean, they had us in at four different large tables, all right next to each other. So it was very easy to get up and talk to folks at the other tables. And Jeff and I were with Tim's family. So that was good, just meeting all of them because they had a good crew there.
Right.
Another table had four couples, including the welcomed the new couple that we met in line, that Tim met in line and just invited them to join us.
Okay.
So, you know, I think the social aspect, I think, worked out okay. I think they could have been a little bit faster with some of the delivery of the steak and shrimp, but that was okay. It was good. By the end of the evening, I'd certainly had eaten my fill.
Right. Sure. Well, and to be fair, you know, they had an even harder time keeping up with us when they were trying to put us all at, you know, one huge table.
Yeah, there were at least, I think, two, maybe three different servers bringing over skewers covering the four different tables. And, you know, when you're within your group trying to do your pseudo shrimp wall competition and you're watching everybody else get shrimp, but your table's not, that kind of makes it challenging.
Sure.
But it was interesting to see because there was, Jeff was sitting with David and those guys and Tim's family at one table and Jeff was doing his part. So there was a shrimp wall guy on that table. And then behind us, Tony was sitting with, Andrew DaCosta and some other people at that table. So there was one guy at least over there trying to do his shrimp wall. And then at our table, Chris Papchak and Carl and Paul Hajar and myself were pseudo doing our shrimp walls. I think we were probably rooting Paul on more than anything, because I really wanted this year to try the meats and the chicken and the pot stickers and all right. the other things. I really wasn't going for the shrimp wall this year. But there was something going on differently at each table, like David said, and it was very close proximity. Like when you first come into the restaurant, there's that row of bamboo poles and stuff like that, and they put us right on the other side of that at the front of the restaurant. But that four table quad area right there, everybody was sitting together. You could lean back and talk to whoever at another table and things like that. So I think it worked out really well.
It sounds like it.
There's going to be plenty of people who, you know, who probably agree that, you know, not having that one 42 person long table, this was a definite better experience.
Yeah. Well, and if nothing else, I think it got y'all sat faster. Cause that was the killer is, you know, you'd spend all that time just standing around waiting because they would have to basically clear out three specific tables, and it had to be those tables cause they were the only ones big enough, you know, to try and get everybody seated. And so I think it made a big difference in just being able to get everybody seated and get the meal started. All right. And it sounded like you had a good group there too. And folks had a lot of fun with it. Looked like there was, some, you know, friendly, gamesmanship going on with the shrimp walls. I don't know. Did we have any that were particularly impressive this time around?
Well, I'd say from my perspective, because I was sitting at the table with him, sitting right next to him, actually, somebody wanted to raise the bar a little bit and took it a different direction. And I think I'm going to throw this to Angel, because it was her idea. But Chris had done like a big circle on a plate type of shrimp wall. So he made a perimeter wall.
Okay.
Instead of trying to build it up.
Right.
And fortify it, he just made a circle on the plate. And her idea was, well, if you add two of those saucers in, you could have a Mickey-shaped wall. Okay. So we kind of noticed this, and we prompted him. It's like, well, you have to have shrimp on it, though.
Right, right.
So he was at the point where he was really full, but we said, you can't end there. You got to get at least another skewer full of shrimp and fill in the ears.
All right, so he had to eat enough to fill the ears in.
Yeah, so he had to fill in the ears. So we gave kudos to Chris, and I don't know, you know, we let the new couple that, you know, walked up and was trying to get a reservation or trying to get a walk up, and they just couldn't. And Tim said, we've got plenty of room if you want to come in on ours.
Right, and that's you just how have to put up with us.
Yeah, sit at our table. But we made them do the judging.
Oh, okay.
And so there was a pretty impressive wall, again, by Tony. Good, impressive U-shaped wall by Jeff, like he always does. But I think when he saw the Mickey-shaped wall, you had to give him kudos to Chris for that one.
Right, right. Well, and now I have to ask, because I'm a purist, you know, Chris built his wall. He a boner or no boner?
There was no bones on that wall.
All right.
Now, it was very shallow. You could almost see through it. But he did form the wall, and he did form the Mickey shape.
All right. A little delicate construction.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, the other big sort of traditional event of Diz Dad's Club Convention, or it's become the traditional event of Diz Dad's Club Convention, is the picnic. Something that started last year and really has kind of taken on sort of its own significance, with people really amazingly contributing to this big group potluck meal. It always amazes me that, you know, people traveling thousands of miles, in some cases, certainly hundreds of miles, can, you know, bring together this potluck meal. But, you know, this year you had some additional challenges because of the weather. How did the barbecue, picnic, cookout, whatever we're going to call it, come together this time?
Adam is a smoking god, and David is a godly bartender, and they are welcome to look after me any day of the year.
Continue the tradition.
Well, Terry, having said that, one of the things that I decided to do last year, after we spent all afternoon cooking hamburgers and trying to get things ready and waiting to eat, I decided that I could prep pork, smoked
Boston butts, some brisket, and smoked chicken, and freeze it just a few days ahead of time. So I cooked all day on the Saturday before, and froze it and coolered it and had it ready to bring down. That way, all we had to do was basically reheat it, and have it ready to go. That way we had a little less time and a little less prep, I thought. And I ended up spending most of the day on Thursday, still getting things ready. Did manage to make a pre-rope drop flight of passage with Paul and Scott and Tony, and then I sort of ditched out to go get the rest of the stuff ready for the picnic because somebody posted the picnic at 3 o'clock instead of 4 o'clock.
Little time zone shenanigans going on there, maybe, huh?
Yeah, oops. So we were still, since everybody thought 3 o'clock. We won't name all the names of some people that argued that it was a different time. But anyway, we prepped for that. And so all we had to do was cook some hot dogs and a few hamburgers that we were going to do for the kids, just in case they weren't huge barbecue fans, because we ended up having a slew of kids there this time.
Well, that's because Chris showed up, and he by himself has a slew of kids.
That's true, but also Bob showed up.
Yeah, Bob showed up, Chris showed up, Tim showed up.
Jay's kids were there. We had a nice gathering of 13 and under.
Yeah, and it never ceases to amaze me how the kids just seem to get along and entertain and play so well.
Not knowing any difference, I would have think that these kids lived all in the same neighborhood. Yeah, you know, just they were playing. They knew each other. They played with each other. Had a great time.
Yep. That's always fun to see.
Yeah, and really, as far as the only fail for the picnic was the weather, and it was nice when the picnic started, but about 45 minutes after the picnic started, it got cloudy, and the sun started going down, and the temperature dropped rapidly. So things cooled off, things got cooler, and everybody was ready to go find a warm place to settle.
So we
packed in the party room.
I should comment, like, the weather got better for the barbecue, and then it turned. But earlier in the day, you know, we started that day at Animal Kingdom. That broke CJ. You know, we went on the safari ride, and CJ was done. I think he was pretty much a popsicle by the time we got off that ride.
Yeah, just so we the missed cold him at him the
barbecue.
In.
Yeah, like it was cold. It was right near freezing that morning.
Yeah.
Yes, it was very cold that morning.
But then it did warm up for the start of the barbecue. Like Adam,
we got well into the upper 50s. It seemed.
Yeah, I took off my jacket. You know, I was only wearing a t-shirt, long sleeve shirt, and a sweatshirt, so it was actually nice.
I was gonna say, while we were setting up, we started shedding jackets.
and then it turned, and some people had to warm up in whatever means were available to them.
Yeah,
and we'll just leave it at that.
That's good. Let's move on now.
Okay.
Yeah. So the thing I want to throw in, I say they kind of twisted this whole ordeal was, you know, when we first started talking about this year, last year, you can follow my lead here. We thought we were going to choose Animal Kingdom as the party room.
I kind of remember that. Yeah. There was some talk about trying a different resort to do this for. Yeah.
And we had done some research and we knew that there were some grills and very much a similar setup over at Animal Kingdom. However, the thing that kind of backfired on us is, our sponsor, Mr. Fensel, didn't get a room, over at Animal Kingdom. So we had to resort back to his home resort, which was Saratoga. Uh-huh. So the advantage last year was we had, Tim and Paul and then the party room all in one line, and we had multiple ovens and things worked out a little better. So the challenge being this year was not having all of those extra rooms and those ovens side by side near the picnic pavilion.
Yeah,
so we did all the cooking in the room.
Yeah, you don't realize how much more convenient that was. Like, it didn't necessarily feel convenient when you were running back and forth, but having the spaces in the refrigerators and the spaces in ovens had to have made a big difference.
Yeah, because yes. You know, Tim and Mel did the macaroni and cheese again, but they brought that over to the room so that we could warm it up and be close, right? So shuffling that between the baked beans and the macaroni, the broccoli rice and cheese casseroles, right? Those were three dishes that needed to go in the oven and get warmed up. And then, like Adam said, he was trying to warm up the meat, and we're rotating all that, trying to keep it warm, and then get it outside in a untraditionally cold time of year.
Well, right. And that's the hard part, too, because you can't really anticipate that. I mean, you're probably more concerned with things like potato salad staying cold than you are concerned that you know, the side dishes that are supposed to be hot are going to be cooling off for you too fast.
Right. So that was the only other twist to the whole picnic that really didn't go as planned, but we made it work anyway.
But all food was delicious. It was fantastic. So, I mean, and I think everyone ate their fill and more. It was a great time.
Yep. And again, you know, shout out to everybody who brought a dish, a side, condiments, plates, papers, napkins, whatever. Pretty much everybody contributed. Those who couldn't bring a side and contributed, I know there were quite a few that were putting cash in Adam's pocket to help cover some of the costs for the meat and stuff. So, again, thanks to everybody that came.
Yes.
Our official count, I believe, for dads in the photograph was right at 20, and we beat last year's photo by one person.
Cool.
So we're going to keep it up. You know, Adam and I and Terry have committed to carrying this forward again next year, because we find that the cookout itself is the least stressful, most relaxing and entertaining, an opportunity to get to meet the other dads outside of paying for, you know, a full family to go to one of these sit down buffets that we typically do. You take Tim's family, you got a party of 5, 6, 7, if you count the moms,
right?
Ohana gets pretty expensive for him. Beer garden is just not an atmosphere some of those guys want to bring their families to. And the cookout just lends to that whole friend family atmosphere so much better. Sure. So we're going to keep carrying it forward.
As I'm sure you can imagine, with this many voices participating in a Trip Report podcast, we ran on for a pretty good chunk of time, and I wanted to give all the guys the opportunity to share as much of their experience as they wanted to, and to really kind of put a nice bow on DizDad's Club Convention number 6. So we're going to wrap up this week's show here, but they'll be back next week picking up with the rest of DizDad's Club Convention, sort of the part after the barbecue, and also their kind of overall impressions and wrap-up thoughts. Thanks so much, guys, for coming on and sharing, and hopefully it just will help the DizDad's Club Convention gang and the event itself continue to grow with each year.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. Never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.
And we know Terry hasn't had too much yet, because you can still count.